Here we are. Welcome to another episode of the Stronger Stride podcast. You are here with Sophie Lane today. I am a running coach and exercise physiologist, and I'm going to be talking to you about intensity and why sometimes when we run, we get puffed out, we get out of breath, and we have to stop much sooner than we would like to. This is a really common problem for our beginner runners, and those of us who are a little bit more experienced as well. We can feel as though sometimes it's quite difficult to manage our intensity, and sometimes we aren't able to control our heart rate. Sometimes we get out of breath and we need to stop. And I'd really like to come up with some strategies around this because I think it puts people off a lot. If you're someone who maybe you've dabbled in running a little bit, maybe you've had a go and it hasn't quite worked out for you, I think often it is just purely a mismanagement of intensity. And if we can get our head around how to control our intensity, how to control our breathing, and most importantly, how to learn to enjoy running, how to make it more comfortable, sustainable, and how to make yourself feel as though you can run longer than you currently can. Okay, so that's a quick little summary. Now, I'm going to hopefully, if I've done my homework, I'm going to leave a link in the show notes for a little PDF that basically breaks down different intensity zones. So there's a number of different ways that we can monitor or manage our intensity. Some of them are a little bit more science heavy and require some testing. Some of them are a little bit easier. So obviously the more sciencey ones are going to be a little bit more accurate and correlate quite well with your heart rate or other kind of physiological measures. But some of our more kind of common day-to-day measures also do the job as well. Okay, so I'll leave a link below if you would like to have a bit of a visual representation of some of the training zones that I'm going to be speaking about today. So first of all, how do we monitor our intensity? So if we're going out for a run, how do we actually know how fast or how slow or what sort of paces we should be running? And if you're someone who has no idea about pace because you're new to running, then we're going to leave pace alone for now. Okay, and what I always encourage for beginner runners, you would have heard me probably on the podcast say this before, is if you are someone who's new to running, then I would suggest going for a walk. Okay, so you're starting your walk, maybe do 5 minutes of walking, whatever it is. When you feel ready, I want you to just start going very, very, very slightly faster than a walk. Okay, so your running pace doesn't need to be a sprint. And I think this is super common for those of us who have only ever run in school, maybe for school sport, things like that. And then school finished, didn't do any exercise or didn't do any running based activities. And now later in life want to get into it. The only kind of memory or association or habit we have attached to running is sprinting around the school oval as a kid. So I think it's kind of in our nature to just run and run as fast as we can. And then all of a sudden we're out of breath, everything's hurting, your legs are burning, heart rate's really high, it's all very stressful. And therefore you're forced to stop, okay? So what I want you to do is walk and just go a little bit faster than that. That's kind of very baseline starting point for any beginner runner to make sure that their intensity is appropriate. There is much more chance that you'll be able to sustain that pace for much longer than you would if you were running faster or running without kind of any kind of reference point, okay? So start with a walk and go a little bit further than that. That would be my first suggestion for you. Now, in terms of actually tracking this intensity, so once we've started, how do we know on Monday we ran at this intensity? And then how do we kind of repeat that? Okay, so there's a number of different ways for us to monitor this. Number one, gold standard in terms of monitoring our intensity and creating some training zones, which we can then utilize in different types of training sessions, would be to get a lactate assessment done. Okay, so what lactate is, I'll link some episodes in the show notes as well that go a little bit deeper into this, but basically, in simple terms, lactate or lactic acid, whatever you want to call it, is a byproduct of energy production. Okay, so as we exert energy when we're running, lactate and some other products are produced as a byproduct of this. Okay, so kind of like think of it as a waste product. When we're at low intensities, this lactate or lactic acid is produced, but it's also cleared at a very similar rate. So we don't really notice any kind of burning sensations. We don't feel like we're going to throw up. We don't feel like we're really working hard. But if we start to increase our intensity, then our lactate will continue to increase and our body struggles to clear or utilize or remove the lactate at the same rate that it's being produced. Okay, so it's being produced lots and lots and lots really, really quickly, and we just can't get rid of it quickly enough. We can't catch up. Therefore, everything starts to become really hard and we can no longer sustain that intensity. Therefore, we have to slow down or we have to completely stop. And that's why things feel really hard and feel really uncomfortable. So if you can and you have access to a lactate assessment. You can come in to Sydney Performance Lab with myself and complete one of these in Lane Cove if you're local to Sydney, or there are a number of other places you can go to. But basically what this will involve is a progressive treadmill test where you start really easy and then the intensity increases every 3 minutes or 5 minutes. And at the end of each stage, as the intensity increases, the physiologist will take a lactate sample and you'll be able to monitor exactly where your lactate was and correlate to that to different heart rates. You'll be provided with a report to explain it all, but basically then you can use training zones. So you can have your zone 2 was equivalent to this heart rate based on your lactate reading, and your tempo was correlated to this heart rate, and your VO2 max pace is correlated to this heart rate. So then when you're out running, you can look at your watch and look at your heart rate and go, okay, cool, I'm at 130 beats per minute. That's good. That's my zone 2 pace. If I go up to 140 beats per minute, then I'm working too hard and I'm probably not going to be able to sustain that for as long as I'd want. If I'm going for a 30 minute run, I know that I probably can't run at 140 beats per minute for that duration. Okay, so it just gives you a really nice understanding of where you are and what kind of paces or efforts or intensities you can sustain for different durations. Okay, so that's kind of the really sciencey, invasive, uncomfortable assessment that I would suggest if you have the means to do. It is quite useful. If not, you can still look at heart rate zones and have a bit of an estimate based on your age, your gender, your fitness levels, a number of different factors. Your Garmin, if you have one, will probably have a predicted heart rate zone kind of based on the information that you put into that. And I think that does adjust based on your training as well. I'm not too sure if that's just the VO2 or if your heart rate zones change as well. But you can get a bit of an understanding of the more running you do, the more kind of data sets you'll have, and the more you can look at different runs. And you can, after you finish your run, look at your heart rate and go, okay, cool, I sat at kind of 160 beats per minute for 20 minutes of that run. Maybe that was a little bit too hard. And next time I'll try and go a little bit slower to manage that, okay? I'll explain why that's important later, but I just want to go through kind of different ways to monitor intensity first, okay? So we've got lactate, we've got heart rate. Pace is one that is kind of, I think, more commonly used because it's just an easy metric. It's easy to sort of feel, it's easy to see on your watch. You don't need any extra tests, you don't need any extra heart rate straps or anything like that. And I think for a lot of runners, they in their head think, okay, cool, like for me, 6 minute pace, that's my easy running pace. 5 minute pace is my tempo. 4 minute pace is my race pace or something like that. Okay, so I think we all kind of attach paces to different metrics or intensities in our head. Now, obviously the difficulty with that is pace will change based on elevation, environment, terrain, the environment. Did I say environment twice just then? Doesn't matter. It'll change based on a number of different factors, the weather, all those kind of things. So your heart rate might be at 150 beats per minute at a 5 minute 30 pace on a cool winter's day. And then when you're running in the middle of summer, that pace is probably going to be lower at that same heart rate. So that's why pace can be a little bit tricky to use and kind of have validity throughout different settings or different scenarios. But it can be useful to gauge a bit of an understanding. If in similar environments you're doing a similar workout, then you could use those sort of paces. Okay. Now, a really simple one that requires no extra testing, no calculations, nothing like that, is simply just an RPE scale. So RPE, for those that don't know, stands for Rating of Perceived Exertion. So it's basically just a number. The simple way of doing it is between 1 to 10. There is a more confusing scale, which is 6 to 19, which there was a study that kind of associated those numbers with different heart rates, but it gets a bit complicated. It's 6 to 19, people just aren't that used to. So 1 to 10 is a little bit more straightforward. Now, in the PDF that I've linked below, if I've done my homework, I'll show you how to kind of correlate your RPE with your heart rate if you're using heart rate method, with your lactate if you're using that method, and then with a torque test, which we'll talk about in a second. Okay, so the RPE, basically, 1 is the easiest, 10 is the hardest. When you're racing, you want to be working towards the 9 to 10 if it's a short, hard, fast race and you're giving you everything. When you're doing your easy running, you want to be closer to that 3 to 4. Okay, so that's just a nice one to kind of keep track of. The RPE is also useful as well if you want to track kind of your overall training volume. And we've talked about this before, I think potentially with Sports Chiro Luke, or maybe just in a solo episode, but about monitoring and managing our training volume. So when we look on Strava, we can see how many kilometers per week we've done, which is a nice measure of our training volume, but it doesn't indicate any kind of intensity, doesn't correlate to any elevation or any other things that might make those kilometers more difficult. So 100 kilometers of easy-paced, flat running in good conditions is not equivalent to 100 Ks in the mountains, in the heat, with no sleep. Okay, so this is where RPE can become quite useful, because you can use a very simple calculation of your RPE times the minutes you were exercising to create what we call a TRIMP score. Okay, so this TRIMP score is a great way of monitoring your training volume, but it does require a little bit of maths and a little bit of time. Okay, but for example, if I did a 30-minute run and I rated it a 5 out of 10 for RPE, then my quick maths tells me that that is worth 600. Now, I hope I'm not wrong on that. You know, maths is my strong suit. But 600, let's just say, it doesn't really matter what the number is anyway. It's just for an example, 600. And then I would add all of my different runs throughout the week, and that would give me a total. So let's say that my total was 2,000 TRIMP points for that week. I could then go to the next week, and my goal might be to get kind of 2,200 TRIMP points and progressively overload that way. Okay, so that can be a really nice way. If you've got the time, if you've got the spreadsheet to calculate it, then it can be really, really useful. And I would recommend it if you, even just for one block of your training, just to get a good idea of where you're sitting. Okay, so we've talked about lactate, we've talked about heart rate, we've talked about pace, RPE, and our TRIMP score. Now, the final and kind of the easiest one to relate to is the talk test. Okay, simply, how easy is it for you to talk during a run? If you're in zone one, which is pretty much a recovery or a really, really low walking, maybe a very, very, very slow jogging pace for some people, you should be able to talk normally. There shouldn't be any kind of changes with your breathing patterns because the heart rate is so low. When you go into zone two, which is where majority of us should be spending most of our time training, we should be able to hold a conversation. We should be able to chat with the person next to us without really too much strain. We might, you know, take a few extra breaths than we would normally if we were at rest, of course, but it shouldn't be too difficult. We shouldn't have to have lots of pauses. We shouldn't be breaking up our sentences. We should be able to sing a song. Okay, so if you can't sing, you're probably running a little bit too quick. Now, I'd love for you all to go and sing out in the street. That would just be fantastic, but I know most of you won't do that. But if you're with a friend, it's really easy to just monitor that through conversation. Okay. If we then move up into zone three, which is more of our kind of tempo effort pace, so something that we should be able to sustain for 40 to 60 minutes, depending on our training status, we should be able to speak in sentences. So we can say a sentence, maybe take a big breath, say another sentence, maybe, you know, let the other person talk for a while, come back to you, rotate like that. Okay, but you probably won't be able to sing a song without having excessive breathing. You probably can't hold a complete full conversation in big paragraphs. Then we move into zone four, which is more of our threshold. Okay, so it's a little bit higher intensity again. On an RPE scale, this would be sort of 7 to 8 out of 10. You should still be able to speak. You should be able to say some words, maybe a couple of words together, 3 to 4, 5 or 6 words, but probably not full, complete, normal sentences without having kind of labored breathing. Okay. Then finally, zone five. This is our VO2 max pace. This is our highest intensity pace. This is our kind of sprinting. Maybe if we're doing, I don't know, 200 meter effort, something like that. We shouldn't really be able to talk. Obviously, you can probably say a word. You know, if you're running past a friend and you're doing the intervals together, you might say, "Go, Freddy," or whatever. But you couldn't really speak much more than that. Okay, so this is a really simple, easy one to follow, easy to understand, and that is the talk test. Okay, so they're kind of our main measures of intensity. And there are some different ways that you can start to think about which kind of intensity zone or training zone or heart rate zone should you be sitting for that particular run. For most people, and what the research is really telling us at the moment, is this 80-20 kind of polarized training, where 80% of our training is easy, 20% of our training is not easy. Okay, so we want to be sitting mostly in that zone 2, lower heart rate, 2 millimole lactate zone, the RPE of 3 to 4, and a comfortable pace. Okay, so that's where majority of our running should be. And then for the other runs, we can start to progress into more of those higher intensity zones. Okay, so now that you understand a little bit more about different training zones and how to monitor each of these intensity levels, I want to talk a little bit about kind of the solution to our problem, okay? So our problem being, we're going for a run, we're getting too puffed, out of breath, we can't sustain our pace, therefore we have to stop, we have to walk, we have to recover, okay? And we want to increase our distance or our duration that we're running at, we want to run for a little bit longer, make it more sustainable, make it more comfortable. So what actually is the solution to that? We know how to monitor what intensity we're at now. We know that we should be at zone two. We know we should be going just a little bit more than a walk if we're just getting into it. But how do we actually make things more comfortable? The first thing I want to talk about with you is breathing. Now, we do have an episode with Tom, the breath performance physio, a lot about nasal breathing and why that's important. So I'm not going to go into too much detail about that today, but more about just helping you find a pattern or a rhythm with your breathing that helps it feel more comfortable. So I'll link that episode below if you're interested to find a little bit more detail around the breathing topic. But for now, what I want you just thinking about is giving yourself some sort of pattern. So the issue that I commonly see is runners breathe really shallow for starters and really short, fast breaths and almost end up in this kind of hyperventilated state where they're breathing really, really fast, really, really shallow, not really getting a lot of oxygen in, not really giving your body a chance to kind of absorb any oxygen that's coming in. Therefore, you're just getting out of breath and really puffed, okay? So first step is to breathe a little bit deeper. Can you fill your belly with air? Can you fill your lungs with air? Can you take a really nice, full, diaphragmatic breath? So that's kind of a 360 degree breath, which Tom talks about a lot, where it's not just this shallow breathing in our chest, we're breathing through our full belly, out to the side, the front, and the back, okay? So we're really trying to imagine we're blowing up a balloon, okay? Now, when things are hard, obviously this can be quite challenging, but I'm just talking about when we're at our low intensity, trying to work this out. Okay, so we know we need to take big, full, deep breaths in and out, but now we need to find our rhythm. Okay, so what I mean by rhythm is how many steps are we taking per breath? So what I would love for you to do, if you're running right now, or even if you're walking, think about how many steps you're taking for the inhale, and how many steps are you taking for the exhale? For some of you, it might be one and one. You might be breathing in on one step, breathing out on the next step, and repeating that. That's quite short and fast. That's going to feel quite uncomfortable, I imagine. So I would encourage you to slow that down. And what I think is a good starting point is two and two. So what that means is you're going to take two steps while you breathe in, so left and then right, or right and then left, and then two steps as you breathe out or as you exhale. Okay, and this can be a nice starting point for a lot of people. Some people find this still too fast, so of course we can increase that number. It's less about which number you choose. There's no kind of right or wrong. Two isn't better than three. Three isn't better than four. But what is important is finding a number and sticking to that rhythm. Okay, this will allow our nervous system to calm down a little bit. Everything will be a little bit more relaxed because we've got this nice rhythmic patterned breathing. We're not breathing really sporadically and chaotically, okay? So start with those two steps. Can you breathe in for two, out for two? If that feels okay, fantastic. Let's try with four. Now, some of these techniques, it can be easier to do them while you're walking to start with, just to get your head around it, and then you can progress to jogging. And when you're first starting, I want you to really think about making them quite distinctive, okay? So when you're breathing in, make it clear that you are breathing in, and then separate that from a breathe out. So you want to be able to hear it, okay? So big breath in, and then can you really breathe out? Hopefully that wasn't too weird of a sound. Breathing in, breathing out, making them distinctive. Okay, so you've tried two, let's try four. So you're going to go in, two, three, four. So it's four steps for the inhale, and then out, two, three, four. Four steps on the exhale. For some people, these breaths are too long. They feel like they can't get the air in quick enough. But I would encourage you to play around with it. And I think what this can be helpful for as well, if you are having those more steps per breath, it might also encourage you to increase your cadence. Because if you know that you've got to breathe out for a certain number of steps, potentially without even realizing, you'll take quicker steps so that you can get your breath in more quickly. So I think it's a little bit of a win-win. So start with the 2-2, try the 4-4, and then go to a 3-3 and figure out which one suits you. You can even go longer, you can go more or less. You could do 2 on the inhale, 3 on the exhale. As I said, the number really doesn't matter as much. It's more about what feels comfortable for you, depending on your leg length, depending on your cadence, depending on your lung capacity, your fitness level. There's no one size fits all, but I think what is really, really valuable about this is finding a rhythm and finding something that works for you and something that you can kind of sustain and control and feel comfortable with and not feel like you're out of breath and out of control all the time. And that's something I've learned from Claire and Andy at North Shore Running. So shout out to them. With our beginners program, we use this technique and I found it works really, really well. The next thing I want you to think about and consider is that breathing heavy is okay. And running is a difficult thing. It does require a lot of cardiovascular fitness. It does require more oxygen and more breathing. and more blood flow around the body than when we're just at rest. So it will feel uncomfortable. And I think for some people who haven't spent much time working in high intensities, maybe they haven't played a team sport or done much running, it can feel quite uncomfortable. It can feel quite stressful. We know from the research that when we slow down our breathing at rest, so when we do kind of a box breathing method where it's four seconds in, 4 second hold, 4 seconds out, 4 second hold, we know that that has some really nice effects on our nervous system and our heart rate, and it can be a really nice way to relax and calm things down. So if you think about that when you're running, if you're having these really short, fast, shallow breaths, it's going to be really stressful. It's going to make things feel uncomfortable and it's going to not feel very nice. But what we need to accept is that we're running, we're working hard, our heart needs to beat fast, we need to get these things happening, particularly when we start to up the intensity, when we're working a little bit harder, when we're doing some shorter, faster intervals. We're just going to have to get used to feeling a little bit uncomfortable. It is part of the process. And of course, as we get fitter, if we're working at the same pace that we were when we were less fit, it should feel easier. You shouldn't feel quite as out of breath. But as we get fitter, we probably just go a bit faster. So we don't really notice the change so much. But what I want you to realize is that there will be a bit of discomfort, and that's okay. But if you're really struggling with that, then just bring the pace right down, okay? Bring the pace down. And the other thing that you can do that I'm going to talk about next is run-walk intervals. So if you're someone who goes for a run, steps out the door, runs as fast as they can, and then has to stop and then feels quite defeated, let's try and turn that around and let's actually create some purposeful, intentional walk run intervals that are planned and structured and progressive. Okay. So if you know that you can run for 4 minutes and then you get out of breath, you get exhausted and you stop, how about we go 2 minute jog at a slower pace, at an easier intensity, at a lower heart rate, and then a 2 minute walk, and we repeat that 5 times. That's going to be a more sustainable way for you to increase your running volume as well. And you're going to enjoy it more because it's going to feel more comfortable. Yeah, you might feel frustrated by spending more time walking, but you'll probably see progress more quickly because you'll be able to shorten those rest periods, increase those running periods over time, and gradually increase your volume until you can continuously run at a comfortable pace or a comfortable intensity. So I think accepting heavy breathing is normal, including our walk-run intervals, and remembering our nice patterned rhythmic breathing are kind of three really key ways for us to manage our intensity, find a comfortable training zone that suits us and is going to be sustainable and long-lasting and long-term, and therefore running is going to be more enjoyable. All right, so hopefully you learnt a little bit today in that little episode about managing our intensity and working out how we can run more sustainably. If you've got any questions, you can leave them in the little questions box below if you're on Spotify, or send them through to us on Instagram. It means a lot and we really appreciate any engagement or conversation from you guys and input, because we really value you as listeners and as runners and as experts in your own right. Any thoughts would be more than welcome. Now I've done all of the serious stuff, I want to just touch on a little bit of personal stuff for me. So it is currently the 9th of September, and next Sunday, so in 8 days, is the Sydney Marathon, and I am committing to doing the marathon. I've had a ticket for probably, 4 or 5 months, and I was always going to do it. Like, as soon as I sort of heard the buzz about it last year, I was always like, yeah, I'll do that. That'll be fun. Support the community, support the cause, be a part of it, cheer on the other runners, enjoy the day. It was never something I was really going to focus on, I don't think, in my training. And especially when I hurt my hamstring in May this year, that sort of put those things on hold anyway. So my plan at the moment is to turn up on the start line and give it a go and have fun with it. It's not an A race. It's not something that I'm focusing on. It's not really a big deal for me. I know that a marathon is a huge deal for so many people, but for me personally, I've done that distance, maybe 10 times, maybe, I'm not actually sure, but I've done multiple ultras and I've done that kind of distance in training before, not for a while, not this year actually. I think my longest run this year is 30Ks, so I'm definitely not in the best endurance shape that I've ever been in, but I'm not necessarily worried about the distance, I'm not worried about a time, I'm not really thinking about it all a lot at all. Lots of people have been asking me, how am I feeling? Like, am I pumped? Am I ready for it? And for so long, I just didn't know if I was going to do it because I've just had all these little funny injuries along the way. So I didn't know if I was actually going to do it. So I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. Like, I'll wait and see. And every Sunday, I'm like, I'll do my long run and then decide. And I just could never decide because nothing felt really good, but it also didn't feel really bad. So I kind of wasn't sure. My concern for the whole thing has been, I know that I could do it, but at what cost and what damage am I going to do in the process? And I think I'm at a point now where my niggles have kind of settled down. I'm feeling okay. Nothing's really hurting. I can run pain-free. I did 10Ks this morning pain-free, which I'm so grateful for and really, really appreciate. And the injuries have really made me value that even more. So I'm feeling as though I can do it. And obviously if something really uncomfortable starts hurting throughout the run, I will just pull out. It's in Sydney. It's very convenient. I can just pull out, get the train home. But what I am really, really looking forward to is seeing all the other runners. I think they're, I don't know, maybe up to 17,000 runners in the marathon, which is just mind-blowing because I'm sure last year they had about 4,000. So it's a huge effort from the team at Sydney Marathon, and shout out to them. It's just been really cool to see this all unfold, and they're putting so much effort into the paces and the expo, and the day itself I think is just going to be such an event. So I'm really, really looking forward to the day. I'm looking forward to the before and the after, and I think I'm looking forward to the run. I think I'm excited about just being with the other runners and experiencing the event as a whole. I'm not necessarily excited to actually run it. I think it's probably not going to feel fantastic, as I've just said. But I think if I just take it easy, if I listen to some of the advice that I spoke about today about keeping the intensity pretty low, I'm just going to kind of jog around. I'm not going to race it. I'm in no shape to do that. And I think if I'm at risk of doing any damage, I think if I go a bit faster, I'm just going to increase that risk. So I'm going to keep it nice and comfy, hopefully somewhere around the 4 hour mark. But I'm not really, I have no idea. I'm not looking at paces, not really focusing on that at all. So I'll probably turn my kilometer splits off my watch and just have it on the watch face and just enjoy the vibes. I think it's going to be hot. I think the Saturday is meant to be 29 and then the day after is 25 or 26, which is the Sunday, which is race day. So I'm hoping that the Saturday weather doesn't move to the Sunday. You know how sometimes it kind of moves along. I'm hoping it goes the other way and it cools down a little bit because that's quite warm. And the race doesn't start till 7. And if it takes me 4 hours, I'm still going at 11 a.m. in 26 degree heat. I think is going to be quite a shock to the system. Obviously, we've just come out of winter, so none of us, unless we live overseas or have been in Europe for the last few months training, then none of us are really going to be ready for the heat. I think that's going to be quite a shock for a lot of people. So if you are listening to this, we've got 1 week as of when this comes out. So make sure, stay hydrated in the lead up, take on some electrolytes, not just water. You need more than just water. Electrolytes, have some sort of hydration plan for the day. Take a hat, take some sunscreen, try and cool yourself down whatever way you can. If you're running along the course and there's shade on one side, try and stick to the shady side if possible. If you've got any supporters or spectators coming, maybe get them to bring a cold, wet towel or some ice or an ice block or something like that, because I think it will be surprisingly warm and I think that might throw a few people off, especially with the colder months that we've been training in, which has been perfect training conditions, but we might not be ready for the heat on the day. So yeah, they're kind of most of my thoughts around the marathon. I'm really excited. The subspace events are going to be on, which is put on by King's Cross, AMPM and Grave Runners. So a number of different events in the lead up and following the event. So looking forward to hopefully joining in some of those. I've got a pretty busy few weeks at work, so I probably am going to have a very easy taper with not a lot of running because I don't really have a lot of time in the week leading up to. And then the following week is going to be a pretty easy recovery week because I am away for work, so won't get a lot done then either, which is kind of good timing. Beyond next week, I think if we look ahead, the next thing on my calendar is Tarawera 50 in February, which is probably about 5 months away now, which I'm really looking forward to. And I'm looking forward to just having one sole focus for the next kind of 5 months, half a year, and not really getting too caught up in anything else. You know me, I'll probably jump in an event here and there, but my focus really after the marathon is just going to be building strength, rebuilding, really ironing out any of the remaining niggles, making sure that my left leg is as strong as my right because I've often got quite an imbalance there. So evening that out a little bit and just focusing on some really good, solid base building. Lots of easy jogging, easy kilometers for the first couple of months, and then starting to increase the long runs, get out in the trails a little bit more. And I'm really looking forward to training for this 50K because the first 50 I did was UTA. Most of you would know I hurt my knee at about 16K in, so it didn't go well. Every step was kind of agony after that. So that didn't go fantastically. And then the 50K I did in coughs, I was also injured for. And then the 80K Bondi to Manly, the first 40 of that was fantastic. Second 40 wasn't. And then I've done a couple of backyard ultras and a couple of training runs around that distance. So basically what I'm saying is I'm looking forward to giving the 50K a really good go. Now that I've had a couple under my belt, I've had a bit more experience, a bit more practice. I'm looking forward to actually kind of not doing it to complete it, but actually doing it to see how much I can push myself, see what I can get out of it, see how hard I can push for such a long distance. I'm also just so excited to get over to New Zealand and just check out the scenery and the course. I've been to Queenstown before, but nowhere else in New Zealand, so I'm really looking forward to exploring that, and it just looks like a beautiful course. So very, very, very excited about that. Plenty of time to train. It's going to be a warm summer, so hopefully get some good heat acclimatization. We'll see about that. But I think that is all from me today. I hope you're well. If you're doing the Sydney Marathon or the half or the 10K or the family run, I'm wishing you the best of luck. I hope that it all goes well for you. And I'm really, really excited to see you all. So please look out for me. Lydia's going to be at the finish line with the running room team giving out some massages. So look out for her there. I am in the B group for the marathon. So I think we start about 7:05 or something. So I'll be there in my Stronger Stride singlet and would love to see all of you there. So please call out if you see me and I will hopefully see you as well. If you need any last minute tailwind, jump onto our link and get yourself a discount so that you can stay hydrated, because it's going to be a warm one, and I will see you all there. If you're not going to be there, then I will see you hopefully in the near future. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.